Drive Live with Claire and Sally, and I have basically just broken the golden rule of broadcasting in that I ate chocolate just before the mic went live, because Nick Rago is in the studio. It's
a
tech clinic, of course, and he is our guru, tech guru, but he's also an absolutely amazing baker.
Oh. He's ridiculous.
And he's bought us brownies.
Oh, you guys flatter. Is this your way of flattering me so I get more treats next week?
Yeah, bring it every week.
Yes.
Okay. So earlier in the week...
Shameless.
Let me put the tech link here. Earlier in the week, he tweeted a picture of some brownies he'd cooked, and I tweeted back, make sure you bring some on Wednesday. Now, unusually for Nick, he didn't reply. He just liked. And I thought that's a bit of a... Yeah, whatevs. Yeah. Thanks for the
maybe
tweet.
Maybe I will. I'm maybe not bringing.
Bothered. Am I bothered? No,
yeah, exactly.
Bothered.
I'm not bringing any, but he did. They're wonderful, Nick.
Not
well
only
done.
That. No, we've got to give credit where credit is due. You said it was Abbas's birthday.
It's Abbas's birthday today. Happy birthday, Abbas.
You baked him.
Yes. So he loves Japanese cheesecake. And he hasn't found a place in Dubai that he likes. I'm sure there are fantastic bakeries out there that'll do a phenomenal Japanese cheesecake, but he's just really picky. So I decided to rise to the challenge and bake him a Japanese cheesecake. And that's what I did.
It's out of this world.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, well done, Nick. Tell you what, while we're on the subject of food, we've been talking about breakfast all program so far.
Oh, my favorite meal of the day.
Well, I'm going to ask you what you have, but what's inspired us?
You're looking at it as brownies and Japanese cheesecake for the past 2 days.
That's a power breakfast. We were talking about breakfast at successful people mm-hmm. have. So yep. Clearly you are one of those. Oh, brownies is the
like
way forward.
I like how you segued into that.
What do you have for breakfast when you're not eating brownies?
Okay, so obviously I'll wake up after freshening up and putting my face back on. I'll have a glass of cold water and then a cup of really strong hot tea and then a medium-sized bowl of hot oatmeal with honey and some kind of like either pureed banana or some sort of fruit and berries or even just like crushed pecans or walnuts or something like that, and a good couple of tablespoons of honey.
And do you ever miss breakfast?
It has to be a really, really like terrible morning for me to miss breakfast, because for me, if I don't have my cup of tea in the morning, heaven help anybody who's in my way, because
same.
I will just destroy you. So if I can get my tea fix, I'm okay for at least another hour or two, but I need to have something in the morning, because I mean, I'll only break for lunch at like maybe 12:30 or 1:00. I need to have something before then. So I try my best to have breakfast in the morning. And it's also like kind of like a me time. You just sit down, you relax, catch up on what's happening on the news. I have Alexa reading my news briefing. So it's just like a little quiet time before the chaos begins.
So do you just sit down at the breakfast table and say, Alexa,
tell me my news. And she just tells me what's happening
in
the headlines.
So cool.
Yeah, awesome. It's perfect.
If for no other reason, I think I need to get myself an Alexa for that reason.
It's
love
so
it.
Much of fun.
So you too can enjoy your oatmeal in peace. Amina says, grilled cheese sandwich and rich coffee from Ivory Coast on the go for breakfast and fruits at brunch. Thank you for that, Amina. Right, you might be forgiven for thinking you've tuned into the Thursday brunch. It is not the Thursday brunch. It is the Tech Clinic. Nick Rago is here, senior editor, of course, at teabreak.com and also our tech guru every week. So if you've got a question for him, 4001, there's already quite a few coming in. Do get them in now, because it always seems to end up getting very busy at the end of the hour, Nick.
We're very popular. Can
we
see we're the most popular segment like in the entire week?
Oh, I love how you the use others, the royal we. You know, we're very popular.
Well, I want to be
as
inclusive.
I am.
I want to be inclusive. I don't want to forget the little people that, you know, brought me to where I am today.
Oh,
that's why
now.
I keep bribing you with brownies.
Yeah, the little people and the breakfast. Should we start with a question, Nick?
Yes,
or would you like to start with a Kickstarter?
We'll go ahead with the question and then go into a Kickstarter.
Okay, so Ahmed has messaged in. Yesterday I went to buy a USB stick by SanDisk for iPhone, and a 33 GB flat stick was about 160 dirhams. However, a new model costed 250 dirhams. Both were USB 3 compliant. Why so much difference in price?
Yeah, so thanks for the message, Ahmed. So that what you had seen, that kind of hooked shaped device, is actually SanDisk's iXpand series. And it's a very cool series where basically if you find yourself running out of space on your iPhone constantly because of videos or photos and things like that, you can basically plug this SanDisk drive directly into your iPhone, run an app, it'll back up all of your stuff off your iPhone, so you can basically have a backup on your USB stick, and you can plug it into your computer and you can edit photos and things like that. So it's a really simple way to either back up things from your iPhone or just transfer things from your iPhone from your iPhone to your PC. So that's why you were looking at different prices.
Okay. There was another question that came in earlier, Sally. I'm struggling to find it now.
Well, I've just seen one from, I think it's Zach.
Yeah.
To switch or not to switch, i.e. Nintendo. So obviously, Zach is talking about the Switch console, which is Nintendo's latest. I want to say handheld, but it's also, you know, a console you can plug into your TV and enjoy from the comfort of your couch. Zach, honestly, we've got one in the office, and we don't play it a lot because, you know, there are only maybe less than 5 games on the Switch that really would compel me to go out and buy one. So if you are a huge Legend of Zelda fan, if you, you know, like Nintendo as a company and you've got a couple of Nintendo products already, then go ahead and try the Switch out. It is a great console because you can be playing something on your couch and just literally pick up the console, put it in your bag, and, you know, continue playing that game where you left off on the metro or, you know, sneakily in your lunch break at work, as I do. But yeah, it's just a question of whether or not you really want to buy the console for a few select games or not.
Okay, let's try and squeeze in one of our rubbish Kickstarters, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. Which one do you want to do first, Nick? I quite like the one where the guy kind of thinks he's some sort of secret agent.
Yes, the sci-fi ring.
Tell us about that one.
Yes, so this is Ori. It is the voice-powered smart ring, and it's as the name suggests, it's a ring that you place on your finger, and when you want to make or receive a phone call, all you have to do is hold your finger up to your ear, and through the magic of science and bone conduction, you can hear the other person clearly. And what this basically allows you to do is to make and receive phone calls in complete privacy, you know, like a completely private conversation, because nobody can hear the phone call in any way. But it just looks so absurd because you're going around, you know, pressing your finger to your ear, and also, you know, trying to hear things through, you know, bone conduction or however this technology works, which is a legit thing.
There is a thing, yeah.
But the way they're implementing it doesn't make me think it's going to work very well.
Let's have a little listen to the video that they've got to go with their Kickstarter, and then you can tell us what on earth is bone conduction.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. I'll see you in a bit. Bye. So you might not have been able to hear that, but using Ori, I was able to have a call. And that's because Ori is a voice assistant ring that turns your finger into a smartphone, all through just a touch of the ear. But why? That's because the way in which we're using our devices is changing from a world where we use screens and touch to one where we talk. Now, Ori uses bone conduction, and bone conduction has been used in many medical-grade devices. We package it in a way that it sends vibrations through your finger directly into your ear so only you can hear, and that allows you to hear and talk through just your finger. Hey man, nice music. Love it. And thanks to bone conduction and the dual noise-canceling microphone, you can hear and talk, even in loud places. So check this out. Ori is perfectly private and discreet. Using it makes it feel just like a secret agent.
Bless him. He feels just like a secret agent.
You know, so there is this cool kind of looking ring.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got to wear for this thing to work.
Yes.
And then on that same finger where you're putting that ring on, mm-hmm. which, you know, assume it's like a Bluetooth connection to the ring and then to your finger and your ear and...
Well, basically, the ring connects via Bluetooth to your phone.
Yeah,
so obviously making the same phone calls. When you get a call and you hold your finger up to your ear, what happens is the ring emits or basically transmits sound through your finger, through obviously your skull, into your inner ear, and that's how you hear what the call is. That's how it works. That's how bone conduction works.
That's how bone conduction works. But how effective is it really? Do we know?
I mean, like the ad says, you know, there have been medical devices that, like hearing aids and things like that, use this particular technology. But the way they're advertising it isn't gonna work that well, because traditionally when you have things like hearing aids and other medical devices, they sit comfortably behind your ear. They don't move. So, you know, you're going to get the optimal kind of listening experience from them. When you're just talking about taking your finger and putting it to your ear, you're going to have to at least fiddle that around a little bit so that you know you're touching the optimal area of your ear in order to get, you know, the maximum amount of audio and things like that. So all of that's quite fiddly. You could just literally pick up your phone and hold that up to your ear.
Your phone.
And like, oh, presto, you can hear the person.
It's incredible.
So I think it's just a really weird Kickstarter. But what's even weirder is obviously they were looking to get some money off us to make it happen.
Yeah,
all right?
They were looking for $30,000, but they've well exceeded amount. It's I'm looking now. $42,500 they've raised.
It's just insane.
People are loving this.
And they're retailing it for $100, which is not a lot of money, but I'm just thinking the actual, you know, purpose of this device is almost obsolete. If anyone wants to have a private conversation, they will just plug in a regular headset and plug that into your phone. You wouldn't need this kind of fancy finger tapping, all, you know, singing, all dancing solution, because it's not a solution. It's a problem that doesn't exist.
You'd have to keep your finger near your ear the whole time.
Pretty
you?
Much, yeah. Yeah.
So you're walking around with your finger in the ear.
That's basically what he's saying, but he feels like a secret agent.
Oh, God, that is a bit silly. Yeah, yes. No, okay. I understand why that's rubbish, Nick.
Terrible, yes.
Okay, plenty more to come from Nick on Tech Clinic today. And also lots of your questions coming in already. Do keep them coming in. 4001 if you'd like to ask Nick a question.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Claire and Sally with you this afternoon. And Nick Rago is here because we're talking tech.
Virus.
Tech Clinic.
There you go. Little fancy,
I know,
fancy stuff for
fancy
you.
Fancy fillers, yes.
See? Lots of questions coming in, Nick, for you, as usual. 4001 if you want to add yours. This one here from Abid. How to transfer from WhatsApp chat to iOS to Android?
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show. I think just the way that WhatsApp chats are stored, that I don't think it's possible to go from one OS to the other. So if you're on Android, you can't move over to iOS, and vice versa. If you're on iOS, you can't move to Android. I know they have an online backup solution, but I haven't tried it personally. So Abid, try that. Go into the app. There is a backup option where you'll be able to back it up to basically to the cloud, and then sign into WhatsApp on the new phone and see if you can restore it that way. But to the best of my knowledge, there isn't an easy way to get it from one OS to the other.
So you might just have to say goodbye to those messages.
Yes.
All right, we've got one here from Dr. Carthy saying, "Hi, Nick. One of the internet service providers is giving an Apple TV along with a package. Is it worth it?"
I mean, Apple TV is a cool little device. For one thing, if you've got iOS devices like an iPhone or an iPad, you can simply wirelessly throw whatever's on your screen to the Apple TV and then watch it on your bigger TV. So if, for example, you've gone on vacation, you want to show people like your vacation photos and things like that, you can use that with an Apple TV. It also comes with a number of games and apps as well, so you can install that and, you know, provide endless entertainment to your family. You can install things like Amazon Video, you can install Netflix and things like that. So, I mean, if you want, you can get it. It's especially useful if you don't have a smart TV. A lot of smart TVs now have these apps built in anyway, so it would be kind of, you know, redundant to have an Apple TV as well. But if you have a non-smart TV that you are still using, I think an Apple TV is a fantastic way to kind of bring it into the 21st century with a lot of their apps and connectivity options.
Roger here asking, he says he has an Amazon Echo Dot. How do I download the app in Dubai on iPhone or Android? I couldn't find it in Amazon Underground, which he says we suggested earlier on this show.
Yeah, so Roger, the easiest way to do it is just create a new account either for Android or for iOS with US details. So that's, I mean, literally just go on to, if you're on Android, for example, just open up a web browser on your laptop, create like a new Gmail account, just put in US information. You don't have to provide any billing information. You can literally put in, you know, any US postcode, just literally find any random address on the web and use that. And once you've done that, if you sign into your Android device with that particular account, you'll be able to see the Alexa and Amazon Echo apps there, and you can download straight away to your phone.
Can we get on to the next rubbish Kickstarter? Because this one is kind of just ridiculous. The Thorn Power Wallet.
It's amazing. I would give money to this.
We can't do it until we do this.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
Yes. I was giving Claire flack for nothing. That's my favorite part of the segment.
He's like,
I love
where's my jingle?
It's like, I like that. They made that for me.
Perfect. Now can
there
we
you
talk
go,
about
Nick.
It?
Tell us about the next one.
Okay, this is the Thorn Wall. And by the way, I was kidding when I said I was going to give money to this. I would probably just give money to it and then throw it off a cliff. This is a Thorn Wallet, all right? It's the smartest power wallet because reasons. And, you know, for the men out there who are kind of tired of carrying around their regular boring wallet with, you know, cash and cards, you now have a wallet that's basically a power brick wrapped in leather that you can now slide in your cards and cash into.
That's exactly what it looks like.
And yeah, that's all it is. That is literally what it
that's
is.
That's exactly what I thought it was. And I'm thinking, are you serious?
It's a 5,000 milliampere power bank, which is pretty decent. It's basically rechargeable. It also allows you to store and stream media via an internal Wi-Fi flash drive, which comes in 32 to 120 gigabytes of storage. But I'm just thinking, that's a massive thing you're going to be carrying around.
It's so chunky.
It's so bulky.
Because the idea is meant to be all of these things are getting smaller and less
yes.
heavy, right?
Yeah. Well, these guys didn't get the memo. The Thorn wallet the Thorn wallet, size matters.
Should we see how they describe it?
Go for it.
Okay.
Introducing Thorn wallet. The smartest power wallet with a built-in power bank, Wi-Fi flash drive, two-way tracking, and much more.
We're a team of technology experts, designers, and data analysts. We've been working meticulously for over 2 years on the research and development of a product.
2 years for research, ladies and gentlemen. 2 years.
We all know that wallets are one category that haven't evolved for quite a while. Therefore, we invested time, money, and development into a wallet that is densely packed with technology.
If you wanted your wallet to evolve, please text us now on 4001.
Everyone uses a cell phone. With that comes the limits of battery life. Thorn wallets have been designed and developed to pack a high-capacity 5,000 mAh battery with fast-charging algorithm and an integrated Wi-Fi flash drive for storing and streaming files wirelessly. All enclosed in a thin case that is laced with high-quality leather and RFID protection layers.
Okay, do I need a fast-charging algorithm in my wallet?
It just gets worse and worse as they explain.
It's like, why on earth would you want to pull all of that out of your pocket every time you want to pay for something?
It's just the worst.
There are just too many
Are people liking this one? Has it got any money?
Well, funny you should ask me that, Claire. They were looking for $35,000, and 30 people have raised so far $2,995. So, clearly, you know, the force is there, but it's not... not strong.
They're
at
not
all.
Feeling it quite as not much as they the are love. The finger, the finger phone,
finger
thing.
Ring phone thing, or whatever.
It's 29 people. It's close friends and family that have pitched.
Oh yes, okay. But quick thing. How much would you pay for this wallet battery pack thing in US dollars? How much would you pay for it?
Well, I don't think any of us would pay anything because we all seem to think it's rubbish.
In an ideal world, but we don't think it's rubbish.
I would expect that they would charge something like $150 or something.
Okay, it's $200.
Okay,
which is still, I mean. Yeah, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced at all.
No, none of that.
I would just buy a regular, you know, power bank and call it a day.
Yeah, we concur, Nick. It's rubbish.
It's terrible.
Let's get back to some questions. Mazhar says he wants some details about CCTV cameras for a villa. Can you help?
That's probably something I can text you back on, Mazhar, so stay tuned for that.
Okay, and Carty says, thanks, Nick. I think this is to her the earlier question. I have an LG Smart TV. I use LG Web OS, is that what
you're saying? Yeah, so that is a smart TV. So she, you know, I don't think it's something that you need an Apple TV for. So if you've got a smart TV, then that's fine.
And also, well, look, not another question here, but it's always nice to have a big up. Hi, Nick. I really do love your segments and Drive Live. You always answer my questions.
Oh, thank you, Zeeshan.
Somebody agrees that the rubbish Kickstarter is stupid as well.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
I think you did excel yourself with those two this week. Let's pop to one of our news stories. I think we've got time to squeeze it in. And Shruti, our producer, and I were talking about this earlier this week, the Netflix figures that were announced. And
this is insane.
It is insane. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Netflix has announced that they've got 104 million subscribers, which is absolutely phenomenal for a streaming service that is, you know, I mean, still relatively young when you look at the elements of you know, traditional TV broadcasting. But it kind of goes to show that people, you know, they enjoy the wealth of programs that are available on services like Netflix. Companies on Netflix are pouring money into original shows, not just, you know, stuff that's come from Hollywood that they're syndicating, so to speak, but they have produced a lot of amazing original shows, movies and TV shows. And the likes of Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, OSN, Starzplay, all these streaming services, I think we're slowly going down that road where I think more and more people are realizing that they prefer on-demand solutions like this rather than having to tune in and week out for a specific day and time to watch a particular show. I mean, there will still always be those shows like Game of Thrones and things like that where you definitely want to tune in for that particular time. But I think a lot of the time, if you could just flick on your TV, watch something, pause it, and pick up your phone and watch the same show where you left off on the way to using the metro, that's perfect. That's so convenient, so easy. And I think that's pretty much where TV is headed, and companies like Netflix are paving the way.
It's what we've come to expect, isn't it? And also to be able to download the whole series at once, like you said, we don't want to wait a week. Funnily enough, I was just saying that about Game of Thrones this week. I said to my husband, oh, we have to wait for the next episode.
What is this?
How is this 2017?
I know, and this is what you always had to do not that long ago, but all of a sudden it's become, that's the unusual situation.
It's become archaic
almost.
Exactly. Yeah, like wait for a show?
How dare you? Binge watch and know everything all in one season. It's just it's ideal, but that's exactly how we watch TV nowadays, isn't it? When and where and
how
we
want patience to. That's the thing, and it satisfies that lack of patience in us. Right, lots of your questions coming in. We will get to them very soon. 4001 if you'd like to add yours. It's just gone 5:30. Time for the news headlines now here on Dubai Eye. Natalie Lindo Taylor is here.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live. Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You are listening to Drive Live with myself, Claire Sharrock and Sally Musa, and Nick Rago in the studio this evening. Hello.
Virus.
Tech Clinic.
Yeah, we are talking tech, of course. It's a Wednesday, and Nick is here taking your questions. 4001. Quite a few coming in, Nick. We'll get to them in a minute. But Sally, a story that you spotted that you wanted to get Nick's thoughts on.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. Windows 10, it hasn't been without its problems, as we know. But something popped up saying that users might need to buy new computers next year because of a surprise block to new updates for Windows 10. What's going on?
Yeah, so basically Windows is putting out a update pretty soon, and it kind of brings Windows into like a whole new generation of development opportunities for VR, AR, and things like that. Most end users won't really notice a lot of changes and things like in terms of UI, etc. But it is very good for developers. But having said that, it also contains regular security patches for end users. But the problem that's going to happen is that certain number of computers will be incompatible with this update, and therefore they'll be stuck with whatever current version of Windows 10 that they're running. And these are for computers that have the Intel Atom Clover Trail processor in it, which is I think maybe 2011, 2012, I think is when that PCs came out with that particular model of processor. And
that's quite a while back. People would have probably upgraded.
They
since
should
then.
Have, but I think a lot of places like hospitals or schools, whatever, who basically run on the principle if it isn't broke, it doesn't need to be replaced, will be happy with these entry level computers. But the problem that they're going to face is that they'll only be able to run a particular version of Windows, and 18 months after that version is installed, it's going to basically be out of date and will no longer be supported by Microsoft for security updates. So the problem that they're going to face is they're literally going to have to go out and buy new computers to be able to apply this update, which is a bit heartless, I think. But it's a weird thing that people have it's basically come to light now, and it's going to be interesting to see just how big this affects certain whether it's banks or hospitals or whatever, just how big of a block this will be for certain companies.
Well, we know from those recent malware attacks that there are a lot of big organizations, including the British National Health Service, that is relying on out-of-date software and computers. So it's going to hit some companies, as you say, that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We can stick with our old computers. Are going to be in trouble.
I mean, I know certain places that still run Windows XP, but that's a different story. but I that's the thing. Like, if people are comfortable using familiar UIs and familiar programs, or even programs that weren't designed to run the modern operating systems, then they're going to stick with it. Simple as that.
In that case, is there a particular kind of time period that you should think, okay, I should really upgrade my PC, even if it's not broken, even if it's still working? Should people, what's the time period? What, like every 2-3 years?
Well, depends on what you're using it for. Like, for example, gamers will probably you know, upgrade some component or the other pretty much every year, every alternate year. If you've just got a computer at home that you're using for email, watching movies, doing a bit of photo editing, you know, putting together like a family vacation video, things like that, you can go at least 5-6 years without, you know, upgrading the actual hardware. The software, obviously, you'll continue to apply security updates from Microsoft and, you know, download new versions of Photoshop and things like that. But the actual hardware will run perfectly fine, even up to like 10 years if you're careful about it. The computer I'm using in the office still runs Windows 7. You know, a scandal, I know, but I'm happy with it, and I've had it for like going on 6 years now, and it runs perfectly. It does everything I need to do, from gaming to video editing to Photoshop. It does it all perfectly fine. So I don't really see any immediate need for me to go out and assemble a brand new computer and have to move all my data around. It just works. Obviously, at some point, the security fixes are going to stop rolling after it, and then I will be compelled to upgrade. But I think for most you know, average users, they can be happy running a PC for at least 5-6 years at a minimum.
But this sort of running out of being supported is how Microsoft.
It's
makes
how
it.
They get it's you. How it's how they get you. I mean,
it's
you.
Money,
you
right?
I mean, unless you don't connect to the internet, which I think is unheard of, you are going to be hit by something at some point.
Yeah. So I love this one, Nick. We've talked about the fact that obviously you're a tech guru. You're also a very good cook, so you could have a cookery show.
I feel this is going somewhere.
How about relationship advice?
Oh, my
okay,
word.
Okay, so this one says, how do I convince my wife that automating and Wi-Fiing the house is a good idea?
Oh, okay. Well, Wi-Fi is always a good solution because you don't want to be tethered to your router with your laptop and things like that. Automation for me is... it's a fun little thing. It's almost like a party trick that I can, you know, when friends come over, I can get my Alexa to control lights and change music. And I can say, Alexa, change my lights to the party mood. And it comes like little flickering lights and changes the colors according to the music. So it is more of a gimmick sometimes. But I think if done correctly, if you have motion sensors around your house, if you have, you know, motion sensor by the door, so as soon as you walk in, your lights come on and, you know, things like that, you can, it's something cool you should invest in. I think definitely starting with something like the Amazon Echo or the Echo Dot, which are small devices which can simplify tasks like reminders, syncing with your calendar, getting your news in the morning, things like that. I think it's a cool stepping stone. And from there, you can go to like digital thermostats that monitor the temperature and monitor usage and automatically adjust themselves. So it's colder at, you know, at night or warmer at night or colder in the morning, depending on how you like it. You can even look at, say, automated coffee machines for all I care. There are so many different devices that you can integrate into your home lifestyle that I think really could make your life a little bit easier.
Maybe the way to convince the wife is find the thing that is important to her, right? Like the temperature thermostat, because we're always colder than men, right?
Look, if he can make life more romantic through this whole automation and Internet of Things thing, I think she'll be on board.
It's perfect. You could just walk in and say, you know, Alexa, set the romantic scene, and it'll play like some Lionel Richie, put some nice lights, bring the lights down low, everything. It's perfect.
I love it. See?
Let us know how you get on.
That's your
Use
answer.
Nick's advice and tell us next week if you've managed to get that the house hooked up. What else is coming in on the text line, Sally?
Yeah, you know what? We've been talking a lot about Tesla on the show,
we have.
Nick. Zeeshan has a series of questions, let's just say, about Tesla. First of all, would it be worth the price tag? For example, so they're saying about $35,000 American
for
dollars
3, yeah.
for the Model 3. An average person would end up paying $42,000, which is about 176,000 dirhams, which is quite expensive, and would have to wait for 18 months to receive it. So he's asking, compared to a comparable model in a different make, so a Mustang, a Mercedes C-Class, a Dodge Charge, is it worth going for the Tesla instead?
Okay, Zeeshan, I do recommend, if you head over to tbreak.com, I've actually put together a very comprehensive FAQ about owning a Tesla in the UAE. And in this, I particularly compare my Tesla Model S, which was... I think about 470,000 dirhams. I compare that with a Mercedes of the kind of same caliber. And just looking at, for example, cost of ownership, you're looking at, you know, 470,000 dirhams spread over X amount of years, like 5 or 6 years. You're spending about 8,000 dirhams a month in car payments. You also have to take into account that a Mercedes of that caliber will set you back maybe about 120, 160 dirhams in fuel for a full tank of gas, whereas a full charge on that particular Tesla model will set you back about 28 dirhams. So you have that kind of, you know, savings to deal with. All in all, you know, the Tesla is a fantastic car. Whether you're looking at the Model X, Model S, or Model 3, it's great. but you just have to wait a little bit longer for the infrastructure to really hit Dubai. There are still, you know, areas off Dubai where charging stations aren't available yet. So you really have to almost go, you know, where can I find my nearest charging station? Where's the nearest mall or nearest hotel where I can go and charge something? There are obviously, I think, about 18 or 19 more destination chargers coming up in the UAE before the end of the year. There's going to be, I think, another 2 superchargers opening up as well. So the infrastructure is coming. It's just a question of waiting and see where it goes. But I mean, if you're able to get in on the wait list to go for a test drive, do it. It will change your life. And, you know, I've taken you guys in a ride as well. And it is a fantastic car. But my only sort of initial doubt with it is wait until the infrastructure is fully in place before looking to get
before
one.
Before diving in. A question here that's caught my eye, referring to the Amazon Echo that we were just talking about. It says Amazon Echo records everything in your home. What about privacy?
So this is something that people have discussed even when the Echo came out, and that is true. It does record what you're saying, but it doesn't upload it anywhere, and it doesn't use that for, you know, machine learning for your voice. So what happens is whatever your conversation is saying, when you say Alexa, that's when it actually triggers and records that segment, and that particular, you know, whatever you say after that, that is recorded and uploaded to Amazon servers for machine learning, so it can map out your voice, and that's really what's transmitted to Amazon. And then those recordings are deleted, I think, X number of weeks after they're uploaded, and then that's it. It isn't, I mean, it's on 24/7 listening, but only records once you say the Alexa command.
If your wife or your daughter is called Alexa, can you change the name?
Yes.
That's a really good question, Sally.
If your daughter or wife is named Alexa, please text us now on 4001. But yes.
Or your dog or your cat.
Or you have some sort of loved one called Alexa. Basically, when the Amazon Echo first rolled out, you could only call it Alexa. But now you can call it Echo, Amazon, or even Computer. So you can say, computer, lights on, and it'll respond to your voice that way.
Well, can you assign a special name?
No, not yet.
That would be cool.
I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, like Jeeves.
Jeeves, exactly.
Yes. Sure, that's coming. Not very original there, Sally.
No, I'll have to think of another one. Seashan's also asking when Tesla's going to open their showroom. They have opened the showroom.
They've opened the showroom, yeah. I was there last Wednesday.
That was last week.
Yeah, they have opened it up. I think it's now, as of Monday, it's available for the public, so you can walk in and check it out. There are cars available that you can go and buy straight off the lot. They are pre-configured. But just bear in mind that over half of those cars have already been sold. So if you are ordering a car from scratch, you're going to look at anywhere between 16 to 18 weeks to deliver. So it's quite a wait.
Another question here. Shashwat says, YouTube app in my LG Smart TV that was bought in about 2011 is not working. It says online it's not compatible. Is there any solution to this?
Shashwat, can you text us back and let us know whether the app was working to begin with, like when you got the TV, or if it's only a recent development? If it's only been acting up now, then it may just be a simple case of resetting your TV to factory default so it can download the app again and set everything up again. And that should be up and running again soon.
Another question from Zishan, the last one he promises.
He's just so needy.
Yeah, very, very.
Terrible.
I think, he waits the whole week for you to come in. That's dedication,
Zishan,
right?
You need bigger goals in life.
But he's asking, this is about gaming now. He's asking, okay, do you have recommendations on TV screens which are also good for gaming? Basically, one with a good response time. He's big on PlayStation 4, but also have a decent media desktop setup. Just need a good and big screen for both of them.
Okay. So, Zishan, honestly, I'm going to tell you from my personal experience, I have a Samsung 55-inch 4K TV at home. I don't have a PlayStation Pro, but I do have a PC hooked up to that TV for 4K gaming. And I'm going to text you the model number as soon as I find it. I think it's the KU6000 or the JU6000, depending on which region you're looking at. And for me, honestly, it is probably like a really good gaming TV. I sit, I sit fairly close to the TV to game because like it's quite close to my couch. But just the quality you get from it and the levels of like black levels and colors on it is very good. So I will find you the exact one that I have at home. Go to a Samsung store and see what it looks like. Maybe have a quick fiddle with it and see if you like that or not.
Xavi has messaged in saying, my daughter is called Alex, shortened from Alexandra. And it's annoying because when we call our daughter, Alexa does reply with weird stuff. It's funny though.
Yeah. So I mean, Alexa has a lot of fun. I'm almost wondering, like, if anyone's listening to this radio show at home and they have got an Amazon Echo at home, who are just going, Alexa, 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 and it's just being triggered.
Does it respond?
Like winding up, like poking a mad dog.
Hilarious.
Plenty more to come on Tech Clinic 4001. If you've got a question, you've got about 10 minutes to get that in.
Send them in.
We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook. Tweet at DubaiEye1038FM.
Or text us, of course, on 4001, as many of you have, with questions for Nick tonight on Tech Clinic. Marwan here, Nick, says, I used to have a boxy box, and it was great.
Ooh.
But they stopped the support for it, and it became obsolete. Do you know of something I can buy to replace it? It's so annoying when that happens.
I know.
It?
So, yeah, boxy was amazing back in the day. But
What's a boxy box?
So, basically, boxy was this little device you could plug in. And it's, think of it like the early days of Android TV and Apple TV, so you could install apps and stream things to it. So, honestly, Marwan, if you're looking for an alternative, if you are going to part with your boxy box, then there are similar products from Xiaomi, from obviously Apple TV. I think even Western Digital has one of their own as well for live TV. So that would be some of the ones that I would recommend if you have to say goodbye to boxy.
Sometimes you've got to let things go, haven't you? Let's talk about one of the topics that caught my eye on the list of stories you sent us, Nick, and it's about Samsung. They're going to recycle their Note 7 phones for future use in devices. Is this to be green and environmentally friendly or save money?
It is. Well, I think a bit of both. Initially, they did announce that they were going to refurbish some of the Note 7s with new batteries and sell them in, I believe it was in Korea exclusively. But what they're going to do with the majority of the phones that they've picked up is they're basically going to recycle the components and recycle the materials in them, because there are a lot of precious metals and things in them that they can use in other devices, whether it's phones, tablets, TVs, whatever it is. It's basically breaking down and scrapping all of the components, which is, I think, a great way to obviously save on costs and save the environment. So kudos to Samsung for doing that.
Yeah, it's good. That's why it caught my eye, because you don't really hear of, usually stories to do with tech firms, I'm afraid, are to do with the way they're damaging in the environment.
Yes,
with you know, the metals that are used in the things and what have you. A quick question here for you, Nick. Sam says, do you think all the fancy supercars and muscle cars like the Corvettes, the Mustangs, the Lamborghinis will all go full electric now that the Tesla is here?
Well, thanks for that, Sam. I don't know. I think people still love the rev of an engine and, you know, the force you get behind, you know, accelerating and getting all that, you know, that engine revving up and accelerating forward. But mind you, there literally have been videos online where you've got a Tesla Model S or Model X versus one of these supercars, and it just leaves the supercar in the dust because it just accelerates so quickly. So you never know. I think you're going to have to be a little bit longer to wait for that to happen, Sam. But yeah, you never know. We'll see what the future brings.
Because one of the things you liked about it was how quiet it was, right? But if you're like one of those
amazing
rev heads.
Yeah. If you like the sound of an engine, then a Tesla is
not
for you.
It's not going to do it for you, is it? No.
Yeah, it purrs.
Oh, so many questions to get through right now. But this is an interesting one. Sammy asking, can you please find me a TTS in Urdu?
Text-to-speech.
Text-to-speech in Urdu. I have one for English and Arabic, but can't find it for Urdu. I use it to read out loud articles and books out loud in my car and on my Android phone.
Sammy, I don't think Urdu is natively supported by Android for text-to-speech, but I think there was an app developed where you can paste content into the app and it'll then read it out. If you give me a couple of minutes, I will text you back on my findings. But yeah, sadly, natively, Android won't support text-to-speech for Urdu.
Very quick one here, Nick. Mario says, what's the best laptop for work? I need something light and with high computing power.
If you are a Mac user, go for the MacBook Air. Really good. Even the 2014 model, which is the one I have, fantastic full-size USB ports. Otherwise, look at products from Asus. I know has a couple of good ones. Lenovo has their Yoga series. Fantastic value for money, good battery life, good performance. And even if you want something a little bit on the more affordable side, look at something from HP as well.
Can we now move on to what you're doing next week? Because
yes.
You are not going to be with us
next
week.
I'm abandoning you guys and taking
again.
My brownies with me.
It's too much.
Leave the brownies.
Really good. This is really good.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
what are you
very
up
cool.
to? Yeah.
So I'm basically going to Seattle with Microsoft for the Microsoft Imagine Cup. And this is something that Microsoft does where they invite students from all over the globe to compete against each other for, you know, ideas that will almost change and improve our way of life. And so there is a team going from the UAE from the American University of Dubai called Green Jam, and they're looking to basically implement a sort of reward system for recycling products, and they want to build a sort of automated recycle station which will basically automatically process and drop the recycling elements in separate bins automatically. So literally you just put it in through a chute, it'll analyze what the material is and then push it over to the relevant recycling bin. And you know, the beauty of this concepts like this is that it encourages students to think outside the box. It encourages them to use Microsoft technologies, whether it's things like HoloLens or their coding skills and things like that, to basically come up with solutions to everyday problems that we have, and even problems that we never thought we would come across in the future. But they're sort of forward thinking and can foresee that this is something that people will be facing in the future, and so here's a solution straight away. And basically, they're competing over 3 days to whittle down the various competitors, and it's going to be very exciting. I will be checking it out. I'll be checking with you guys as well when I'm in Seattle, so I cannot wait. Make sure you guys tune in for that next week.
What are we going to get from you? What are you doing for us there?
Well, I will definitely be reporting in what the teams are doing. I can't say a lot because a lot of it is under embargo while I'm there. So I can't obviously say, oh, the winner is so-and-so person. But I will be reporting what are some of the cool teams, what are people developing, what are some of the things that they're seeing, and kind of some of the projects that are looking to go towards the finish line. So it's going to be a very exciting time for us.
Have we seen from other, previous editions of this, things actually happen that have been thought of at that particular event? Is it something that then gets sort of moved on?
Yeah.
And might become part of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the times with these sort of events, it's not something that will happen overnight, even like in a year or two. But I definitely recall from last year's competition, there was a particular group from Europe that had basically developed with Microsoft HoloLens a way for doctors to kind of, as they're operating, see vital signs like heart rate and things like that as they're operating, so they know essentially what's going on with the patient. They don't have to keep asking the nurses or any staff on hand to give them vital signs. So they, as they're operating, they can see step by step directions what they were planning after the surgery. So I think things like that can definitely help improve our lives. And the more students, the more people are involved in projects like this, the better things and events like this become. And it also encourages other people watching these shows to ensure their kids are getting the right education to pursue this as well.
And it's great to see that you're giving it coverage as well, and we're going to be hearing about it on the Tech Clinic on Drive Live. So
for
that's
sure.
Really cool. That is very good. There are a couple of other questions, but we have just about run out of time. I don't know if you can answer this one really quickly. I have an Android phone. It hangs every time I use Google Maps. Tried uninstalling and installing it again, but no luck. Any ideas on that one?
Can you text us back what model of phone that is? And okay, We'll see if we can text you back a quick solution.
That's it.
So we will have a tech clinic next week, Sally, won't we?
Who's definitely in next week? It is a Kevin Sebastian of Absolute Geeks.
So if you didn't get your question asked this week, 4001 next week, and we'll address it. It won't be Nick, but it will be, we will try to answer it. Nick, we'll give the last word to Clarence tonight, who says you are a tech chock guru.
Oh, thank you, Clarence.
Very nice.
That should be like on your business card.
I should just get a t-shirt with it.
Yes, sort it out.
Do it.
Make it happen.
Next time we see you, that's what you'll be wearing.
That wraps it up for the Tech Clinic this week. Thank you for all your questions, of course, and thank you to you, Nick, as ever.
Thanks a lot.
That's Nick Rago from teabreak.com here with his brownies, keeping us very happy on a Wednesday afternoon.